Peace, stars. What's up? It's your boy, E-Rule, host of the Dying Age Podcast. We got Stay here, so we're doing Dying Age State of Mind. Put the banner up here. Doing Dying Age State of Mind. We got Stay in the background. Stay just popping in. Wait till you get yourself settled. Today's episode, as you can see on the right-hand side, we're being sponsored today by a company called For Us Moms. So anyway, Mother's Day is coming, right? So why not get a t-shirt? So Mother's Day is coming. I got For Us Moms. You know, when I say with your shirt, take a look at some of the t-shirts they got here. My favorite people call me mama. The mama myth and the legend. I'm a twin mom. What's your superpower? So anyway, there's a whole bunch of different mom t-shirts here. You can click the website and see so many different ones here, man. So like I said, I'm being sponsored by it. So if you go to forestmoms.com, as you see at the bottom of the screen, you can use promo code DIEHARD. Use promo code DIEHARD at this website, Forest Moms, and you'll be able to get 10% off discount plus free shipping to this site here, man. So it's a good idea for those that are trying to find something to do for Mother's Day. You can, like I said, you could cop the godmother. If you got a godmother that you like, or if you are a godmother, you can put the godmother t-shirt on just so you can feel pride in that stuff, man. Strong as a mother. There's so many different shirts here, man. So please check out the website as soon as you get a chance. And I'll see what they have here. See what matches with you. This is one of their best sellers here. Ain't No Hood Like Motherhood. So that's one of their best sellers here. As you can see, they also have Afterpay. So, you know, along with your code, you could use Afterpay and you could pay six payments of $6.49. So it works out, man. So anyway, let's get into the business here. Of course, this is Dire State of Mind. Big topic of conversation right now is Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau. State, what you think?
Who you want to start with first? That's the better question.
Well, Cully came in here early. He was like, who got to go first? They both got to go.
Who got to go first? Can we... All right, can we be clear about why each set person needs to go? Between Tibbs... Hey, Randall, I want to be clear. So, with Tibbs, dog, Tibbs single-handedly botched the whole season. That's what's so crazy about it, because it's people like me, it's people like you, and it's others who have said, if the Knicks just switch up rotation, you know, put some young guys out there, or just in general, just switch up rotations, like switch up what you're trying to do. Maybe this season wouldn't have gone to shit. And I think the biggest indictment on that's what really ruined the season was that right there. We went 3-17. So since we went 3-17, it's tough, bro. It's real tough. And Tibbs also, he talks accountability. He hasn't held Randle accountable all season long. He frequently gaslights the fan base. He said, and what's crazy is in a recent interview, he said, you're not eliminated until you're eliminated. So we was eliminated from the playoffs a couple games back. This motherfucker still plays Alec Burks 35 minutes. There's no logic behind that. It's no logic behind that. On top of the fact that you repeatedly, and on top of the fact that you say shit like Obi's a backup quarterback. You say stuff like, we don't have no other option at point guard. So you continue to start Alec Burks. So amongst all of this, how he never gets on his vets, he always gloats about him, but he always gets on the kids. The kids is actually, they're developing. They look good. They've been looking good the past few games. That's the main thing. Like, the kids look better. And why do the kids look better? They're getting consistent minutes. Have they been getting minutes the way I want them to get minutes? No. But since they're playing every game, now they can try new things.
I seen a move yesterday from Obi Toppin, and he did the same exact move at Dayton. And it was the move where he got the ball in the corner, basically took one dribble, but the dribble that he took was like, you know, I think it was a through the legs or behind the back. And when he shot it off the step back, I'm like, okay. He missed the shot, but you could tell his confidence is getting there. And you could tell he's definitely becoming, And you could tell like he's definitely becoming comfortable. And he got his confidence now. So, yo, it's great to see, man. And in seven games, seven starts with Obi Toppin. And it's the off the top of the dome while I was in my brain. So he averaged 15 points. And this is just him starting. He averaged 15 points, seven rebounds, three assists, 56% from the field, 35% from three, and I believe 86% from the free throw line. This is just starts, right? Looks good, man. And he looks good because he's getting consistent minutes now. So I think Tibbs failed us in that area. Just being petty, benching Kemba when he wasn't supposed to bench Kemba, tried to make it Kemba look like a scapegoat. The injuries between the young guys, the old guys, just injuries everywhere all season long. Everywhere Tibbs go, injuries follow him. And then last but not least, I think one of the main things is he kind of ruined Randle to the point where now you're going into an offseason where you can't justify to certain Knicks fans how Randle and Tibbs can walk back through them doors. He magnified Randle's weaknesses, and Randle couldn't recover to the point where now people's just like, yo, I'm done with the dude. And respectfully so, he did it to himself. But at the same time, Tibbs is the coach. You're supposed to ring your players, or you're supposed to protect your players. He didn't protect Randle this season at all. You allowed that man to do what he do. And granted, Randle got some blaming at himself, but ultimately that falls in line with Tibbs. So this is at Tibbs' doorstep, and this is that's some of the reasons, if I didn't say everything, why I want him to be fired this summer.
Okay, cool. All right, good night, everybody. But anyway, you know, after everything that you just said there, you know, the accountability is the only thing that sticks out to me the most is, you know, because, I mean, who's being accountable in the coaching staff? Who's keeping Tom Thibodeau accountable? So everything that happened, you know, all I had to do was like the assistant coach or somebody to come out and say, listen, this is not working, or we need to do this. We need to get this guy more involved. We need to switch up the offense or something, you know, especially during that time when you said was third with 3-17.
Yeah.
He was 3-17 during that period. You mean to tell you, like, if he was like, what's something that's 20 games, right? If he was 10-10 during that period, we would be in the playoffs. Yep. You know what I'm saying? If he was 10-10 during that period, not asking for being more than that, because, you know, we could have been more than that. But say 10-10 during that period, we would be in the playoffs right now. So, I mean, we lost it. We lost the whole season during that time. So after going through that long stretch, 3-17, we should have shut the season down at that point. You know, at that point, like, Tom Thibodeau was being stubborn and whatever, you know, the front office don't want to fire him. You know, the coaching staff is not doing nothing to hold him accountable. You know what I'm saying? So we should have shut the season down. You know, they should have started playing the young guys more often, this, that, and the other. Another word that you like to use a lot, man, I hate using this word, is development. You know, there is no development. You can't say that the young guys are developing. They're just getting minutes. You know, so they're just playing. They are succeeding off of their own merits. You know, Quickly is getting more minutes now, but I mean, as soon as you know, Tom Thibodeau got a chance, Quickly had like what 17 minutes that one game. As soon as he got a chance, that he was already benched again. You know, and then the other night, Burks is, you know, he's still the point guard, still the starting point guard. At this point, Quickly should have been the starting point guard, especially after going 3-17. Quickly should have been the starting point guard, straight like that. You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on this roster. So, like, if you want to talk about accountability, all the young people are being led by IQ. That's number one. And everyone, I say, Berman. I guess we'll play a clip of Berman later. Well, Berman was saying that RJ's a leader. It really is IQ. You know, IQ was the one that's getting these guys to, together, you know, organizing them on the court and off the court. You can see it. You know, him and Obi are like best friends off the court. You know, you can see their camaraderie and stuff like that. Every time they talk, IQ is over there. You know, RG2, they all do. All the young guys do the same thing. You know, they're all leaders within themselves. So, I mean, you know, the only person right now that's sticking out that we can immediately get rid of course, it's Tom Thibodeau. But, you know, I'm leaning towards Julius Randle. So we didn't really talk too much about him. Mm-hmm. You know, but I guess we could say straight off the bat, he's just a sore loser. He's a sore loser. He's very emotional. He takes himself out of the game. His bad vibes affects the whole rest of the roster. It affects the coaching staff's ability to coach out there when he gets into his moods. And then once he causes all these distractions, now everybody has to get out there and stop fights and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, he's the one that should be doing it. He's the one that should be stopping fights and stuff like that, protecting the young guys. But it's the opposite. It's the other way around. So, you know, we're in trouble keeping both of these guys. But as you can see, the youth are the ones that are really going to really make a difference here. So if Tom Thibodeau has no choice but to play these guys, then, you know, then they will play. So, you know, Julius Randle, to me, got to be the eye man out.
So, Julius Randle. For me, it's just about you should know better. I think that's the main thing with me when it comes to Randle. Like, you should know better. You know what you signed up for. You know you got Carmelo Anthony's number. So you should know how this thing goes. So the first things first is going to war with the fans. I think that was a part of it. But the nail in the coffin for me was after he said the shut the fuck up comment, I think the very next game, it was either that or the thumbs down, but the very next game, he goes 1-for-9, and I repeatedly see some sulking on the court. And what I mean by he should know better is, dude, you average 20, 10, and 5. So it's not like there's no talent there, but you holding the ball for 14 seconds, that's not good basketball to me. I don't want to watch that. You're better than that. When you see people open, give them the damn ball. Then you got other things like, is he ignoring RJ Barrett on purpose? Is he jealous of RJ Barrett and he's hearing fans saying, we want Obi, and you're hearing fans saying we want RJ Barrett, and they not chanting your name no more. Is it an ego thing with you?
But whose job is to get rid of that, though? You know, like Julius Randle say, oh, he should pass it to, does he didn't want to pass it to this guy? Or like, oh, he just holding the ball, standing in the corner, holding the ball. Who is the person out of anybody out there that's going to stop Julius Randle from doing that? The coach.
Yes. I agree with that. But that's why I said I wanted Tibbs fired, because he magnified the issues. He didn't stop it right then and there.
So who do you get here to stop Julius Randle? That's the big problem. If you get rid of we'll pick Tibbs. All right, well, let's say we fire Tibbs and we keep Julius. Right. So who's going to be there to stop Julius? It's not going to be anybody on the court. It's not going to be Mitch. You know, it's not going to be anybody else. It's not going to be RJ, because RJ doesn't seem like he can get to him. Quickly doesn't seem like he can get to him. Nobody on the roster can get to him. Taj Gibson don't even try. You know, Fournier don't even try. These guys are the veterans. Burks don't even try. You know, so this is kind of letting him sit on by himself in his emotions. You know, so what do you do with a player like this? How do you get him off his high horse when he can feel? You know, you mentioned Melo, but the number is really Bernard King's number, number 30. But you know, to bring it to Melo knew that he's the best player on the court. You know, so you know, when he played there, like a lot of people keep saying that, oh, it wasn't Melo's fault, this and the other. But listen, Melo thought that he was the best option. That was the problem. You know, Julius Randle, you know, but Melo was the best option. Bernard King, oh my God, you got me all fucked up now. Julius Randle thinks that he's the best player on the Knicks. You know, so right. He thinks he's the best option. Right. You know, so Tom Thibodeau doesn't do anything to stop him from that. With those dribble handoffs and stuff, leaving him out there to go one-on-one, that's the offense. That's what Tom Thibodeau wants his top players to do. So, I mean, it's just a bad spot. But if we get another coach in here, how do we mend that relationship with Julius Randle as him being that option? Whether it's the 1, 2, or 3. You know, he's out there. So what's going to get him to get on the right page with us?
I don't know. I mean, this is what I go back to. He should know better, cause he's not trash. That's the most frustrating.
But he knows he's not trash though. So I mean, how do we get him right?
But remember what you said to me, I believe it was like 2 months ago, and you said to me, the only way Julius Randle's role will change on the Knicks is if he is traded. I firmly believe that as well. I believe that because of the success that he had from the almighty fourth seed, to just see all of that go shit to bed the very next season, and to see fans chanting RJ Barrett's name, chanting Obi Toppin's name, booing you to the point where you saying, yo, I can't bring my son to the games because,
let me address that. I got kids, man. My kids are supposed to be in bed by a certain time, bro. My kids are supposed to be in bed by 8:30, the latest, you know, sometimes 9 o'clock, you know, but usually at 9 o'clock, they're supposed to be in bed. They shouldn't be at MSG watching a basketball game with grownups drinking beers and cocktails they drinking, you know, drunk fans. My 5-year-old son should not be out there with drunk fans, straight like that. You know, if I'm out hanging out with my wife or whatever, my son shouldn't be there. You know, even if I'm playing pickup at the Y or something like that, or even if I'm playing like the Urban League or something, and then there's fans in the stands and I'm playing whatever, my 5-year-old son should not be there. He should be in bed. You know, straight like that. The wife wants to be there, it's okay, but they have enough money to get a sitter. That kid needs to be in bed. Every once in a while, maybe the early games he could be there, you know, because it's early. Excuse me, or maybe he could be there for the first half. But that boy, he got to get out of here. Halftime, you got to go home and go to bed, son. I don't care about him talking about like his son. Oh, my son is there. Listen, your son should be in bed, fam. It is what it is. MSG is a bar. We've been there before. How many drinks did you have that night when he was there? You was fucked up, I think.
Yeah, I was fucked up.
you was a little bit fucked up. I had a beer. The beer got to me a little bit. So I mean, there's people drinking in the stands. You know, like strangers are drinking. A little kid should not be there.
But he calls that on himself. Play better. That's all. Like when I hear that excuse from Randle, I'm like, yo, come. Like, I didn't like it because I'm like, yo, bro, you sound soft, bro. You can't use your son as a shield from criticism, bro. I don't want to hear what you're talking about because there's regular people who work a 9-to-5 who wake up stressed because they backed up and ring. So for them to hear you talk about that, and cable costs like $150 for 2 boxes in 1 crib. So you think that guy, regular guy's going to want to hear that bullshit excuse from you? They don't really want to hear that from you.
Yeah, and then also, too, like with the whole dumbs down stuff and like, oh, you guys are booing and this and the other. Listen, man, you know, we pay the salary. If we didn't care as much as we cared, he wouldn't have $30 million a year. You know, if it was back to the 70s when nobody cared, like, did you watch any of that Lakers shows on Showtime?
Yes, I did. And I was very surprised at the way how Jerry West was treating Magic Johnson.
Well, he's a sore loser, you know, but you know, the gist of it was is the reason why he was able that guy, Jerry, what's his name, Buss?
Jerry Dr. Buss, yeah.
Yeah, the reason why he was able to get the Lakers is because the league was in shambles. Nobody wanted to buy a team. So that's why he was able to scrap money together and buy the Lakers off that guy or whatever. And the dude was like, fine, I'll take it because he had marital problems. It's crazy. Like that's who was owning these teams. Guys that had barely had money, they had millions, but they barely had enough to sustain these teams. The whole league was about to be bankrupt if Magic and Bird didn't come to the league. You know what I'm saying? So like we go from points like that, you know, to, and even if you want to talk about segregation and all that stuff, we can get all the way up to this point, 2022. The reason why that he's able to be successful and feel like what do you want to call it? Privilege to do this, you know, throw the thumbs up and tell us to shut the fuck up and all this other shit. You know, it's because of us, because of the fans. You know, so I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, it's a little bit too much. It's driving me crazy a little bit because it's like stuff that we shouldn't be talking about. You know, but one thing I put this up here, man. Well, I don't mean to cut that off, but the same guy, Kenneth Hayes, he said, I'm keeping Randle. So talk to Hayes. If he wants to keep Randle, so how does this work if we keep Randle? What do we have to do to make it work?
if you keep Randle, you have to fire Tibbs. No way in hell I want both of them to walk back in.
All right, but listen, that's the thing. It's either to fire Tibbs or fire Randle. So we chose to fire Tibbs, and now we got Randle. Now what?
What now, do we do? New coach that comes in here. Hopefully, I would love Johnny Bryant because he already been in them guys' ears for a couple years now. Somebody that you can see. Hopefully, he builds an offense where it's more functional. No way in hell you don't play Obi and Randle together. Like, major minutes. Like, minimum 1,000 minutes. Like, how you played RJ Barrett with Alec Burks over 1,000 minutes. And people going to say, well, Tibbs developed RJ Barrett. He developed him. Alec Burks to help RJ Barrett's development. So, like, it's like, come on, dog.
But it's a thing too, because I mean, this is what messes up the argument too, because everybody's like they want RJ to be the man. So I mean, so now when you're trying to make the connection between Randle and Tibbs and RJ and this and the other, it gets clouded because everyone keeps talking about RJ this, RJ that, but and then like they want Julius to do that. But listen, like how do we explain this to somebody like Kenneth Hayes? They're saying that you guys, you know, basically you want to get Randle because y'all want RJ to be the de facto man. So, I mean, what do you do? Because, I mean, we got rid of Tibbs. Okay, now we kept on Randle. So how do we get off that narrative? Because we have to win. You know, the narrative alone, whether somebody wants RJ to be the man or Randle to be the man, it doesn't matter. Like you want Johnny Bryant to be in here, you know, to be the guy. But how do you change the relationship there? And how do you change the narrative out there between everything that's going on? How do you tame it? How do you tame this thing?
I think, first of all, it starts with Randle actually showing some accountability. That's one. But two, actually, a lot of just apologize. If he could come out and just apologize for this season and say, y'all, I'll be better next season and take ownership of everything that's been happening this season, I think it starts there. Just actually, like, opening his mouth and speaking to Knicks fans like that. Also, just looking at game tape, understanding your dog, you don't need to do everything no more. Nobody gives a genuine Knicks fan, a genuine person. We never, and you don't even have to be genuine to feel this way. Like, you can just be a Knicks fan, any type of Knicks fan. Coming into this season, Randle got his money already. He did his job. The almighty force, he did his job. He got paid off of that. This year, for him, it was never about the stats this year. You didn't need the average 20 and 10 this year. You don't need about, it's not about stats. Now it's about winning. You got all these new pieces on this team. How about you play the backseat role? You got all-star, right? You got paid already. The Knicks that gave you 160 plus million, Brody. You got paid already. How about you take a back seat and understand, okay, I got this shooter, I got this guy, I got this guy. I don't even need to hold the ball no more. Let me try to play off the ball. Let me try to move off the ball. He don't even move off the fucking ball.
That's coaching. He's horrible off the ball. Coaching. The coach doesn't want him to move off the ball.
But that, it goes with coaching too. But at the same time, I see Obi cutting to the rim. I've seen Deuce McBride cut into the rim. Sometimes it's a warning. I could blame – it's on Tibbs too, because Tibbs' offense is straight garbage.
But listen, I never see OB cut into the rim. I never see you know, anybody cut into the rim. The Knicks don't run the offense that way. Only when Julius is not there.
Very, very, very – it's seldom. I see cuts to the rim. Just like I said, I've seen Deuce cut to the rim a couple times last game. I see Obi cuts.
With Julius there though, with Julius on the court, these guys be cutting to the rim.
No,
that's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't happen. But listen, man, the thing that I'm going here, because like you want to put it all on Randle, right? So I mean, it's kind of unrealistic because you're saying that you wanted to make a public apology to the fans.
It's not. The main culprit is Tibbs, but
he's gone. He's gone though. We fired him.
I'm done with Tibbs. But when I say like Randle public apology, when I say public apology, I'm not talking about like specifically about those shut the fuck up comments, that thumbs down comment. Just apologize for having a terrible garbage ass season. That's all. Like, we like we expected better than this year, bro. We expected better than this year. You the team's best player. That's out of respect.
So what about Nerlens Noel? Should Nerlens Noel apologize too?
Yo, stop playing with me.
You see what I'm trying to say? Like, it don't make no sense. Like Nerlens Noel should apologize too? Like, it don't make no sense. These guys, like, truthfully, these guys don't have to apologize for nothing. What they need to do, like, the front office needs to have the exit meetings, right? They need to have an exit meeting. They need to have a real exit meeting. They need to be like, listen, Julius Randle, this is you, man. Let's look at film. We're gonna play a tape for you. Look at all this shit that you was doing this year. You need to figure it out. You need to go see. This is what we suggest. Go see a sports psychologist. You know what I'm saying? Go work on this, work on that. Listen, we want you to play off the ball next season. We want RJ to this is what we want. You know, and then we're gonna look to add a point guard. We're gonna look to add this. We're gonna fire Tom Thibodeau. We're gonna push Johnny Bryant there. Johnny Bryant's gonna be in the room. This is how I want to play, Johnny Bryant. Johnny Bryant got to tell Julius how he wants to play, and that's it. That's how you do that. You change the stuff going on in there. But at the bottom line, Julius Randle has to be the one to do that. So I mean, when the going gets rough, all that stuff is out the window because Julius Randle loses control of himself. You know what I'm saying? So it comes back to like, should we fire Tibbs or Randle? Cully said it at first. Both of these motherfuckers gotta go. Tom Thibodeau gotta go and Julius, man. That's what it comes down to.
So I would love both of them to go. My only thing is this the Knicks and right. Oh, I love Kenneth on fire. He on fire. He tried it tonight. Kenneth on fire. So when you say hand RJ everything.
No, but listen to what he said. He said that you're saying that you want to hand RJ everything, but why not see him take it? Why not let him take it?
He's taking it since January 1st. You see him taking 17 shots per game this year. He's actually it's times where I'll say, damn, RJ, tone it back a bit. Like, you shooting the damn ball too much. But at the same time, I could understand why he was doing that. At around that same time, that was when Randle was really shit in the bed, right? And somebody had to step up. You see, Evan Fournier was shooting the lights out all season long. But he can't be the man got to take the ball home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it got to be somebody. So I respect RJ for doing it. Also, RJ never say, shut the F up. You don't get into no problems with RJ and family on the social media. You don't even know everybody's good.
But RJ did say shut the fuck up, actually, though.
Who?
RJ did say shut the fuck up, though.
Yeah, but you know his shut the fuck up.
To the fans, I mean it's the same shit though. He didn't say it to the whole crowd, but he said it, huh?
He said it to a Knicks fan.
Well, I don't know if it was a Knicks fan, but he said it to a fan in the stands. All the fan was saying that, hey man, you're like I forgot. I don't know if he said it's plus or minus, or he told him that he was like whatever, you know, that he needs to step it up or whatever. That's all he said. He didn't say nothing crazy to him. And then you know he went crazy. I don't want to play the whole thing because I need to edit it down. It's kind of long. The video, but I'll play it anyway. Well, that's not the right one. I think I deleted it. Where is that? Man. I think I deleted it. Let me see. No, it's right here. You know, I got a problem with that too, man. It's just as bad as Julius. Julius was a little bit more dramatic, but it's still the same thing, though.
I mean, hey, we gotta know if that was like at home or away. If it is away, then I would give him a pass. But Randle really told Nick fans as Nick Nation like to shut the fuck up. And you want to know what's funny about that? Do you hear the interviews these kids is having now, and like the specific wording that they be saying in these interviews? First of all, they always quickly, and RJ and all those young guys, they always talk about the fans first, aka I watched what Julius Randle did. I'm not gonna make the same mistake, right? You see how RJ says, you know, leadership, social media doesn't bother me, this, that, and the third. And it's like, and you see it today with a Mark Burnham report. Well, not even Mark Burnham, but you could see it on the court if you're watching the Knicks right now, that, you know, maybe his teammates don't respect him like that no more. But I can't put a finger on it. So Julius Randle,
If he's done for this season, his three-year Knick career, 21 points per game, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, almost a steal, 44% from the field, 34% from three, 77% from a free throw, negative 255, and a 93 and 114 record. So that was his last time suiting up for a Knick uniform, which I'm kind of hoping it is. Once a Knick, always a Knick. He's welcome to come to the cookout, but he might have to stay away from me because I might balk on him first, ask him why he didn't pass the ball much.
Well, listen, man, you know, RJ, I just want to talk about this RJ thing. He said it was only one fan in Detroit. He was like, RJ was directing to one fan. But listen, if he's telling, hey, you're watching me, right? So shut the fuck up. So listen, I'm standing there too. So he's not talking to me. He's talking to the other guy, but he is talking to me. You know, he's like, you watching me, right? So shut the fuck up. So me, I'm minding my business, right? You know, it's like, oh, are you telling me to shut the fuck up too? It's like somebody say, yo, man, like, ain't nobody gonna say nothing to me. Ain't nobody gonna do nothing to me. So you know how people like to monologue, they mad at one person, but then they say out loud, yeah, ain't nobody gonna say nothing to me, ain't nobody gonna do shit. So wait a second, you're talking to me now. Calm the fuck down. You know, don't get me involved in the shit. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's the same thing to me. That's how I perceive that, you know, the whole RJ thing. You know, but you know, like I'm trying to say, I don't want to put the players against each other, but this Julius Randle thing. Let's talk about that. Let's say if we keep Tom Thibodeau, but we trade Julius Randle. Now what with that? Well, I'll start it off then, because you know, if anything, you know, the one thing about Tom Thibodeau, right? And this is not a credit to Tom Thibodeau. This is always gonna be a credit to these young players. These young players never stop playing hard for this kid, for this guy.
That is
right.
Yes.
Yeah, they never stop playing hard for Tom Thibodeau. But that's not because of Tom Thibodeau, though. I think that's because of the what Julius Randle is made of. Not Julius Randle. What RJ is made out of. What IQ is made out of. What Obi is made out of. What Quentin Grimes is made out of. What Deuce McBride is made out of. You know, all these guys here, with those five guys, are even Jericho Sims. Jericho Sims gets emasculated every single game, but that kid is running back and forth on offense and defense, going crazy every single night. You know what I'm saying?
Got to thank the assistant coaches, too. The guys who's in the background, who we don't see, because players usually talk to assistant coaches more than they talk to the actual head coach.
I don't get that either, man. Do you have a problem with that? I got a big problem with that.
A problem with what? Like go ahead.
But they were saying that Tom Thibodeau don't even talk to his assistants at all. He don't refer to them.
I got a huge problem with that. I think I'm gonna give you an example, right? Ever since Mike Woodson left, something left with him. You get what I'm saying? Something about the Knicks offense left with Mike Woodson, Brody. I don't know what it is, but them guys in the background, bro, is those guys is important. And I think, like, Woody brought something to that offense that
– accountability.
I think it was accountability. And listen, like, the kids, yo, these guys has all been – they all been playing well. Not – listen, man, I'm with you, dog. All right, fuck Tibbs. Now, I can't give Tibbs no credit because he's the reason why the season is ruined anyway, because he's a 64-year-old clown. But – quickly right now it's 23rd all time on the Knicks 3-pointer list. 23rd, that's funny. The Knicks effective field goal percentage leaders this season is Jericho Sims and Mitchell Robinson, which is interesting. Total steals plus blocks this season, you got Jaren Jackson Jr., Robert Covington, and whoop-de-doo, you got Mitchell Robinson, that's third. Over the second half of the season, only one player in the league dished out more than 80 assists, knocked down more than 43 pointers, yet committed fewer than 25 turnovers. Whoop-de-doo! Emmanuel Quickly. Also, Quickly is the second youngest with a triple-double, coming off the bench as well. You see Mark Jackson on that list. And you see RJ Barrett since All-Star break just averaging a quiet 24. So you see the young guys developing because – you know, I think all the background stuff is how they've been developing. And it's a testament to the young guys, man. Walt Perrin got a nice collection of young guys who mindsets are the same. They all work well together. None of them really seems redundant. Only ones that seems really redundant is probably Mitch and Jericho Sims, but that's a talk for another day. And you know, even RJ Barrett said it. So RJ Barrett, I believe I sent you a tweet. RJ Barrett talked about the young core, talked about how the guys we play well together and this, that, and third. So you know that we got a nice dynamic brewing. Nice dynamic brewing. Yep, basically, nah, picks have been working out so far. And this is answering a question about basically tanking. The Knicks was never going to lose games on purpose. And basically, they don't care about their draft slot. Hey, man, they disagree with me. I wanted to tank, but kudos to them, man. I respect it. And RJ looked like a guy who he'll probably get fed up with winning, but no. I mean, fed up with a lot of losing, actually. That's what I meant to say. So,
well, I mean, you know, that's another podcast for a different day. Because, I mean, you know, KP, why did we get rid of KP? Because KP walked in there and said, listen, man, you guys are not doing what you're supposed to do. You know, so then the Knicks said, okay, bye.
Yep.
You know, so what if RJ was to do that? I don't think he will, because I think that these young guys, they believe in each other. The group believes in each other.
Yeah.
You know, so that's important. You know, so, I mean, you know, just to circle back, man, on what you were saying about the Woodson thing, because that's the last comment here. Flyboy, you said you would think that Mike Woodson was the real coach. But, I mean, you know, I'm not sure, you know, if he's being sarcastic or what's going on with that. But, yeah. You know, Mike Woodson was the real coach. Not the real coach, but was the accountability factor for Tom Thibodeau. Because, you know, he doesn't talk to no coaches, right? But if Woodson comes through, Woodson is going to be like, listen, you're sitting in my chair, fam. So you're going to listen to what I have to say about this. You know what I'm saying? Like that used to be my chair. You know what I'm saying? So and then Tom Thibodeau got to listen to Woodson, because if he don't, you know, Woodson could possibly have taken his chair. You know, but you know, he went on to go to college and this, that, and the other. But I mean, that's the main thing. We need a bigger branch between the coaching staff and Tom Thibodeau in order for it to make it work. Now on the flip side, you know, ever since Julius Randle's been out, the Knicks whole offense has been different. You know, we have to play different now because we don't have the personnel to play that he wants, to play the way that he wants to do. But now you got Burks in RJ's role, and now you got RJ in Randall's role. So he keeps going to that too. He kept going to that in the last couple games and stuff. Let's see the last two losses against Charlotte, and I forgot what the other loss was. He kept going back to the same Julius Randle type plays, you know. And you know, I think that's going to be the death of us. No matter how we develop or how we, you know, get another player in here or whatever, you know, getting players in here, he's still going to have us going back to that hero bullshit, dribble handoffs and let the guys take us out of games. You know, so you know, it's annoying, because I mean, if we get rid of Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau, now we kind of pull each other back so far that it's like, you know, what do we do next? You know, of course Johnny Bryant should be the one to lead us after that point. But like, I would hate to go that far back, you know. Well, I think we might have to just do that, man.
I don't think it's going that far back, only if you keep some continuity in there.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. You can't hide. Now, in that type of situation where you trade Randle and you fire Tibbs, you kind of gotta promote somebody on the staff. You can, because if you bring in somebody new, now you really kind of, because that coach is gonna say, well, I want so and so and so, and I don't like so and so and so.
Yeah.
When you Bryant, it's like he's been visible for so many years, and I don't know. That's my opinion. I want a guy who's good. I don't really want to have a long coaching. I see Bryant a lot. I see RJ talking to him a lot. I see Quickly talking to him a lot. I see Mitch talking to him a lot. He talks to every single young player on the team. He's the one that Randle slapped the whole laptop. He was the one that walked up to Randle, grabbed him, you know, and walked him away a little bit. So,
yeah.
No, that's my pick. But overall, like, damn, I would definitely fire Tibbs before trading Randle, but it's not realistic. So I'm just all in on just trading Randle, because somebody got to be a fall guy this year.
So, and you know Tibbs, and you, and come on, let's be real. Like, Leon Rose has the cojones to fire his mans for 20 years, or would he rather send his CAA client to a place where he could flourish at? Which one is more probable? Trading Julius Randle is more probable, so that's the one I'm going with first. But yo, if they fire Tibbs and keep Randle, I wouldn't bat an eye. I wouldn't bat an eye.
Truthfully, man,
the main thing is anybody you bring here, and I hear you mention this a lot. Any point guard you bring here, any new players you bring in here, they will have to play in Tibbs' offense. Ain't like we gonna see something different.
Yeah, basically, it's going to be Tom Thibodeau's offense. That, like, Tom Thibodeau don't trust his point guards to run the offense as long as Julius Randle's here. So, I mean, that's the big thing. So, I mean, if Tom Thibodeau is going to be the coach, you have to give it to Julius Randle just because you have to save Tom Thibodeau from himself. And as you can see, like, every Knicks fan, even if you believe in Julius and whatever, you would agree that the Knicks are playing good with the young guys in the group the way that they're playing. They're playing really good with them. You know what I'm saying? So we need to build on what's working, and the only way to save Tom Thibodeau is to get rid of Julius Randle. We just have to do it.
Yeah, that because it justifies. Like for me personally, I don't know about you, but for me personally, I'm pretty sure there's a fan out here who's listening to this and be like, "Yo, stay. I'm gonna agree with you on this," but. That's the only way you could justify bringing Tibbs back. That's the only way you could justify bringing Tibbs back. Or not trading Julius Randle. Look, man, you know, Tibbs, he didn't like the way he did this season. Or Julius Randle, you know, we had to get Julius out of here at this time. But something got to happen. Like, I need a change.
Well, check this out. Let me throw this at you. This is from 1987-88, right? So this is the Detroit Pistons. You can see on the screen there that they were 54-28. They finished first in the Central Division. They lost in the NBA Finals to the Lakers that year. They lost. Wow. It said they lost NBA Finals 3-4 to the Los Angeles Lakers. So anyway, who did they have on their roster? If you check it out, take a look out here. I'm gonna just click game started just so you can see who's there. They had Bill Laimbeer. They had Joe Dumars. They had Isaiah Thomas, of course. They had Rick Mahorn. They had Adrian Dantley. So this is the guy I'm highlighting. Adrian Dantley, they had just went to the NBA Finals. They lost to the Lakers. They could have won, but Adrian Dantley was the guy that was their scapegoat on their team. He was their Julius Randle. He was that guy that scored a lot. You know, he's a big time scorer in this league. 32, he was 32 years old, but he still was like one of the greatest scorers that ever played a game up you know at that point, history wise. I'm talking about one of the greatest scorers. So in order for them to get to the next level, if you want to talk about scapegoat or anything like that, he was the one that had to go because the next year. Fast forward to the next year, 88-89, they actually won the championship against the Lakers, swept them. Who was on their roster? I'll do the same thing again. Game started. Take a look. Adrian Dantley, he got traded halfway through the year. You know, so he got traded halfway through. They traded him for Mark Aguirre. You know what I'm saying? So hit them making that trade for Adrian Dantley to bring Mark Aguirre.
He was another talented scorer, but probably Mark Aguirre probably bought in real fast. But then he averaged like 26 on the Mavericks, if I'm not mistaken.
He was a big-time scorer over there, but he had the balls within himself to come to another situation and take a back seat, big-time back seat, you know, because this doesn't really tell the whole story because Dennis Rodman actually started a lot of these games, especially in the playoffs and stuff that year. You know, so Mark Jackson even went to the bench for that Detroit Pistons team in order for them to win. You know, but Adrian Dantley wasn't doing that. Adrian Dantley was like, listen, I'm the man. I got to get all the shots and this, that, and the other. That's why they lost. That's why they weren't able to get over the top. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Julius Randle, like as far as scapegoats are concerned, it's not really scapegoats. You have to just look to move forward. Like, look at the Toronto Raptors. They had DeRozan, you know, to bring it back to now. They had DeRozan. They had Lowry, right? So, in order for them to get to the next level, they had to get rid of DeRozan. Even though DeRozan was there, Michael Jordan over there, a lot of, you know, RJ looked up to him as a kid growing up. You know, he was that big star for their franchise. They had to get rid of that star in order to get to where they needed to go. They traded him for Kawhi Leonard, and then the rest is history with that. You know, a lot of luck came along with that, but, you know, you don't get that good juju unless you clean up the other stuff that's going on, man. So I think, you know, rather than Julius being like a scapegoat, looked at as being a scapegoat, he just needs to go somewhere else, and we just need to get somebody else here that's going to fit in what we're doing. You know, and right now, what we're doing currently without Julius Randle, I think it's the right thing. I think this is the right path that we need to go. But we need to be careful, get Julius Randle out of here and bring somebody else in here that's going to fit in what we're doing, you know, what works with this current group.
I'm not like, if you're going to trade him, get something of value back. Like, don't just trade him just to trade him. I think that's the main thing with me. Like, get something of value back. Either it's Portland's one of their lottery picks, Jalen Brunson in a sign and trade, something. Just bring something of value back. Because, you know, for me, I want a starter that's coming back in that Randle deal. I want a starter. If you can't give me a starter, I want a lottery pick. Because if Randle averaged 20, 10, and 5, what would I want to replace him with? I would trade him for a point guard. And then I would start Obi Toppin and try to justify the reason why I drafted Obi Toppin 8. That's what I would try to do, try to manage my assets.
But then you also got to think, too, like, is Quickly good enough to be a starting point guard? He actually has been playing really good. You know, but you have to play a certain way in order for Quickly to be successful. The way that we're playing now, you know, Quickly, this is how Quickly should be used. You know what I'm saying? So what do you do from here now? You know, with this process?
That's the interesting thing, because Quickly, yes, he got a triple dub. He was coming off the bench. Quickly has been excelling off the bench. Do you really want to take that firepower off the bench, and do you want to start him? I mean, shit, I could see Quickly starting at the point guard. Do I view Quickly as a point guard? Hell fucking no. Like, I dislike calling him the word point guard. I think he's combo guard. But Quickly has been playing well, playing great defense. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. Like, who are the options out there? Do you prefer to start Jalen Brunson over Emmanuel Quickly? I'm going to keep it 1,000 with you. I don't. I'd rather just go with Quickly if that was the case. If the option is Jalen Brunson, $20 million, I'd rather allocate that money somewhere else.
Absolutely. I think everybody's on the same page with that at this point. Some people still go off. They say, oh, Jalen Brunson. But you're right about that. I mean, that's a whole podcast with itself, too. But because, I mean, like, why would you waste the $20 million when you got a guy that's just as good on the bench? So if you get Jalen here playing him 20, you're going to split minutes with Quickly? That make no sense. And then on top of that, you still got $14 million going to Rose, and you still got Deuce McBride on the roster. So, you know, it'll make no sense to invest in the point guard situation. And we got so many. We got, like, yeah, I just mentioned Quickly, Rose, and Deuce. We can't have all three of them on the bench. We got to go with somebody. You know, just roster building-wise, we got to go with somebody. Somebody got to start.
And – for me, so now many of things could happen. Now, a situation that I would love, like Jalen Brunson in, is, let's say, for example, like we get the one pick. I'm just, because I'm trying to put that energy out there that the Knicks get a top four pick for not tanking this year on purpose. But let's say we get the one pick. Donovan's not for sale. They traded Rudy Gobert. So, you know, we can't look at Donovan Mitchell way. So the brass says, you know what, yo, we're going to keep the one pick, right? Let's say the Knicks be like, yo, you know what? We're going to go Banchero, right? So in that idea, that's when you go get me a guy like Brunson, because now he's seasoned. He is a seasoned point guard. Palau, he young. RJ Young. So you get another guy like that, Jalen Brunson, and then that's when I hire his dad, bring his dad on the staff. That's when I'm going CAA mode crazy. I'm just going all in. But that's only if we get that pick. Because I wouldn't mind Brunson in that type of situation. I think he would flourish in that type of situation.
All right, but you got Brandon Cheryl, so what happens with Obi?
I'll play them together. If it was me, I'll play them. They don't play the same. They don't play nothing alike.
So who's your center? Who's your center in that situation?
Oh,
Because now you can't draft Brian Chow and say, hey, listen, play center for me now. That's not good.
No, fuck no.
But then you can't have Brian Chow there and then tell me that his center is Obi Toppin.
Now you can't. So for me, I think there's ways you could play Banchero and Obi together. I think a coach like Nick Nurse would try to do it. My thing with Banchero is you can't have him and Julius Randle on the same roster. Like, that is a no. But it depends on how the Knicks feel. You feel he's a four? You feel like he's a three? Like, how do you want to play him? I think Banchero is better on the perimeter. I would personally play him at small four. I don't know. That's just me. But if they see him as a four, then it depends. If he's playing a four, who's my five? That is a good question.
Well, this guy Flyboy is our co-star today. He's saying that Banchero is a small forward at 6'10". I don't see small forward in him at all. You know, but let's play that game. If Banchero is a small forward, you play Obi Toppin a power forward. Then what do we do with that?
God, give me a who gonna be the center? Can Mitchell Robinson be the center? But then that's why you got to get a guy like Jalen Brunson. You got to get a guy to navigate all that. That's too much navigating.
Even when talking about defensively, I don't think Banchero is. I don't think it's a good idea to make him a small forward in the NBA. I think that you need to play him in the power role, from the get go. Let him be the power forward. He's a prototypical NBA 2022 power forward. You know, so that's my thing. You can't draft a guy and say, hey, I'm gonna have you play point guard now. That's the same situation with Burks. Burks is not a point guard, but Tom Thibodeau said, hey, I like defense, so guess what? Burks is my point guard. Only because Burks has a good handle, you know? But we can't do that.
Paolo's handle for his age and his size is too elite for you not to want to even try him on the perimeter. Like, I would play him next to – like, let's say we got Paolo, right? I would play him next to RJ and – who's a 3-and-D guy right now? A guy like Dylan Brooks, something like that. Like one of those type of guys. You need flexibility. Oh, who's a 3-and-D guy? Who comes to my mind first? I'll play him next to a prime like Danny Green, RJ Barrett. Like you need two good wings, but you need a floor spacing wing that can play some defense. It's many, but he's so versatile. I play him at the three, the four, the five.
Where does RJ play?
Everywhere. You can play RJ at the two, the three.
That's a big problem. Like, because you have to have solidify guys in spots. You can't say, oh, I can play him here, I can play him here, I can play him here. But listen, when it comes out to playing games, now you look like Tom Thibodeau. You know what I'm saying?
I got a good rebuttal for you. Nick Nurse. You know why I love Nick Nurse? That man don't never stay the same. He do all types of weird 2K. He go 2K mode crazy. I seen him throw a lineup out there with Scotty Barnes, Pascal, OG Anunoby. Who else he had?
Look at his roster. He has to do that. They don't have no center over there.
Yeah, but they don't have no center. And they still got a better record than the Knicks. Because they're versatile. They got versatility, bro.
I'll give you this. Nick Nurse is going to play whoever he has, and he's going to play like that. You know, he's gonna have everybody, you know, playing on the same page. He's going to be able to get the most out of whoever's out there. You know, Tom Thibodeau's not that guy, you know? So, I mean.
Nick Nurse is, yeah. He'll throw a 1-3-1 one play, then the next play go 3-2 zone, then the next play go 1-3-1 again. Like, he mixes and matches like with a guy like RJ and Paolo, him specifically. What you could do all types of five man lineups with those two. All types of five. Them two could play with Grimes. What
that? Like I said, Flyboy is our host here. He said, "I've seen that." That's right there. When people say that, I can't stand it because it's like everybody's seen the same shit. But people say, I've seen this guy do this. I've seen, like, listen, it's videos. Everybody's seen it. You know, so anyway, I've seen him play point guard, then I've seen him guard everybody else. But listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I've seen this guy do this, but he can guard this, that, and the other. When you're playing in a game, it's not one versus five. You know, you have to allocate five guys on the court to do certain things. You know, this is not pickup. You know what I'm saying? This is not pickup. You can't have Ben Simmons come out there, and he's the point guard, but he's also the shooting guard, the center, the power forward. He's guarding everybody. But this four other guys, how do you utilize the rest of the team? That's what I'm trying to say. Because, I mean, like, Brancherl could probably play all five positions. You know, if you tell him to, he could. But should he? You know, R.J. Barrett, he could play point guard, shooting guard, small forward. He could play a small ball four sometimes. But do you want him to do that? You know, like, same thing with Burks. Burks could play point guard, but nobody in the hell wants him to play point guard. But why force everybody else to do that? You know?
It's all about being versatile. You don't gotta play him at one position the whole time, the whole game. That's what I mean by just mixing and matching. Mix it up.
Yo, yeah, I be butchering his name, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, listen, I'm half Puerto Rican. I can't pronounce any of these motherfuckers' names.
I be butchering that man's name. But listen, it's all about versatility, bro. If you got a guy like Brancherl, bro, you can be so versatile with the lineups. Then I didn't even mention Reddish. You could get
that's another guy too.
What? With the proper coach, the proper offense, you can do so many things with that. That type of lineup is where I say, yo, go get Jalen Brunson. You got to give me somebody who's like a quarterback who won't make too many mistakes. Or you get Tyus Jones from Memphis. That boy been killing.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you get Tyus Jones, right, which would be a good idea, then what do you do with Deuce McBride and those guys? That's what I'm trying to say. What do you do with Deuce? What do you do with Rose? And what do you do with Quickly? Right, because if you want, like I say, if you think Quickly is going to be the guy off the bench, okay, cool, I'm good with that. And you got Brunson here, okay, fine. So, but they're going to split minutes, you know, they're going to split minutes at the point guard spot. So, what do you do with Deuce? What do you do with Rose? Somebody got to go. They all can't stay.
Yo, with all due respect to Derrick Rose, I might send him off this summer, yo. With all due respect, he's one of the players I'm having a hard time, like, not just. Seeing, like, where does he fit next season? Because I view Quickly as my backup point guard. I just told you that.
Right.
I think that Quentin Grimes and Reddish should play together. Those are two young wings right there. Grimes is a two. Reddish is a three. I'm looking for a starting point guard. Where the hell Derrick Rose fit in that equation? Because he's also a backup point guard right now in his career. They should just really let that man go to a contender and try to win a ring right now. Because it's not – where does he fit? And I'm not starting Derrick Rose at all next year. I'm not even entertaining that talk.
Well, it comes down to everything. Where do we, you know, if we trade Julius Randle, we have to get value back. You said that earlier. We have to get back value back for him. So if you make a trade, we can't just trade him for a point guard. We can't trade him for Brunson. That can't just be the only answer because once we do that, now we still got, like I said, we still got Cookie, we got Deuce, we got, you know, we got Rose, and you know, and all this other stuff. We still got a whole bunch, and we still got Tom Thibodeau's favorite point guard and Burks on the roster. So. You know, we all screwed up, you know, if we make that trade. So the front office is going to have to figure out something else, too. The front office themselves are going to have to make a decision on who they want to be the point guard or whatever. So you only need three point guards on the roster. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need seven, you know, five on point guard option. You need three, you know, and then you fill out the roster the rest of the way. So, I mean, I think that's going to – what like the third really sleeper between Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle getting rid of both of them. If we get rid of Julius and we keep Tibbs, which I think is probably what's going to happen, you have to rescue Tom Thibodeau from himself. You got to delete some of these options for him at point. You know, because, I mean, if we keep Burks, I think Burks is going to be the starting point guard next year.
Yeah, I would lose my fucking mind if that happened, you know. Shit like that, I have people uninvested. Like, you can't do stuff like that. You can't. Tim's already been slapping me in my face all season with this, having me watch six different teams this season. I'm watching different offense. I watched the Kimberlet offense. I watched the Julius Randle-centric offense. I'm watching the R.J. Barrett-centric offense now. And I'm watching Quickly. Something got to give. Something got to give. Something gotta give, man.
Yo, right here, you know, Eddie just brought it up, man. This is my trophy that I bought myself from last year for the Nothing But Knicks fantasy championship. I won it last year. Guess who won this year?
Go ahead.
You know, because you in the same league. I won this year too. So I won 2 years in a row with the Nothing But Knicks league. This year for my league, I was third place in my league this year. Oh, you know, because of injuries, but everybody's injured at this time of year because I was injured a lot for the Dire Knicks podcast. The Nothing But Knicks league, but I still won that motherfucker. So 2 years in a row, I'm fiending to go on one of their shows just so I can ruin the show and just talk my shit about me winning back to back championships, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, this guy here, man.
Do you still want to listen to that dive into we got into, or
you just want to get right into the hot subject right now, the whole Zion thing? Do you want to get into that, or do you want to start get into the thing I sent you earlier about
with the Berman thing?
Yeah,
we can. I'll play it. You know, if anybody can see the screen here, the video is playing. There's no sound yet, but if you look on the right hand side, I blocked Berman. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So when he makes posts, I don't see any of this shit because I don't want to see it. To tell you the truth, I don't want to see anything that Berman has to say. You know, so that it is what it is there. But listen, I'll play it because State wants me to, and for not for nothing, I kind of agree with what Berman is saying here. So let me put this on the screen here. Let me mute it for a second so I can get it right. So I got it muted here. So let me get it together. So I mean I rarely let me just play it.
Yeah. It's been stunning how poorly he has led this team after last season. And RJ Barrett is right now the leader of this team. And you know, obviously Randall handles the ball too much and his three-point shooting went down. But I feel that his teammates don't respect him anymore. In fact, and I've written this on the road, he doesn't even participate in the pregame starting lineup introduction. He's in the back warming up. And it's just been a stunning reversal. And when Ian mentioned that RJ Barrett has handled the New York market impeccably, it's just the opposite for Julius. Since he became an all-star, you know, going into the season, he has handled it very poorly. And I think Knicks brass is concerned on how he has handled himself as the number one guy. And that's why they're going to probably try to move on from him if there is a good deal on the table.
Yeah, so I know you heard it. Hopefully everybody else heard that shit too. I mean, but, you know, it's not really an exclusive report. It's like we've already seen it because of all this antics on the basketball court. You can see it. You know, we was talking about it the other day with all these pictures here with his bad body language. You know, you pointed out here, you can see RJ Barrett looking at him. You know, the guy needs to go. We don't need a beat writer telling us that. We already know that already. But you know, everything that he's saying, it makes sense. You know, like, you know, the front staff, I think they're all arguing with each other behind the scenes. You know, trying to get everybody on the same page. Listen, man, we need to move off from this guy. This is not it. You know, we cannot move on as a franchise with this dude as the number one option. And then I'm quite sure they're having the same conversation. Listen, if we get rid of Julius, you know, or if we get rid of Tom Thibodeau, we still got Julius, so we got to deal with that. But if we get rid of Julius, then we still got Tom Thibodeau, we still got to deal with him. So we're between a rock and a hard place, man, with this stuff. So, you know, really both of these guys got to go, man. If we really and truly want to get past all the drama, We gotta get rid of both of them, but we have to be very careful on how we just move on from it, because you know we have to get the right thing going on here. We can't, you know, we can't ruin you know, the chemistry and the building and the leadership that these young guys are forming together. You know, we have to add to it.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I listen to it's this podcast. I listen to Knuckleheads a lot with Q Rich and those guys. And one of the main things they always say is, "Damn, man, I wish management kept us together." Because remember, they was on the young Clippers team. Now I remember that team because I used to play NBA Live 2000. So
that team was a killer. Team. If you played that on 2K with the Clippers, they were a freaking killer to play with, man. They were real good, talent wise, you know.
Of course, and that's when 2K, that's when Live had four icons. So you my age, you know, they had like a lock icon, the dunk icon with the foot. I think they had a 3-point icon with a basketball. They had another icon. I forget it, but you know. They always say, I wish management kept us together. We was growing that chemistry, was getting that camaraderie together. I wish they just added like 2-3 vets and let us just grow and let us just simmer and work it out. So I would like the Knicks to do that for once, at least, man. Just think about the team for once. It sounds like the fan base not a lot of the fan base, but it sounds like most of the fan base, they be more logical than the goddamn management and Tibbs. I didn't see tweets on Nick Twitter that's smarter than our management. So they got to step it up, man.
I mean, we really study this thing. You know, Tom Thibodeau, you know, like that's another thing too, when somebody was saying like, oh yeah, but he wasn't talking to you, Eru, that's just the New Yorker in you. But listen, if Tom Thibodeau was saying, listen, you guys need to study and this, that, and the other, you know, like how much studying do you need to do? These guys, we're at game 78 right now. And talking about that, oh, we need to study, watch the game 4 or 5 times. But listen, watching the game 4 or 5 times does not help you presently in the game. You know, you're watching the game and you watch 78 games, right? And you still can't make a decision about how to run this team. You know what I'm saying? You need to watch the game 4 or 5 times in order to figure it out. You know, 78 games. So listen. So, all right, at this point, Tom Thibodeau said, yo, you got to watch the game twice, 3-4 times, right, in order to understand. So you mean to tell me he watched the game, watched all these games 78 times 4? And if he did that, you know, I don't even know the math. Let's do the math. What is that? Like, let's say like 400 times. Let's say you watched 400 Nick games this year, right? And you mean to tell me that you still can't get a fucking grip on this roster? You know? Like, and now you know why people tell you to shut the fuck up and you a fucking idiot, old piece of shit and all this other stuff. That's why people tell you that, because listen, you cannot con a con artist, man. New York is a con artist. You watch these games 400 times, right? And you mean to tell me that after game 78, you still don't know what the fuck is going on? I don't know what to say.
It's not Minnesota, bro. I think that's the main thing. Like, I think they, Nick Manager and those guys, they read comments, they read Twitter. They see what fans say about Tibbs. So when Tibbs go to, oh man, nobody knows what's going on outside our locker room. Motherfucker is showing on the garden floor. We can clearly see the shit. And obviously, people who really love the Knicks, who do these shows and do this podcast, obviously watch the fucking game twice. Even when I don't even want to watch the game, I still gotta watch it sometimes again, just to make sure my eyes ain't deceiving me. So I know this motherfucker who's 64. Then watch the shit more than 400 times, like you said. So this whole idea that I'll bring it up again, saying a little lie shit about, you know, Obi's a backup quarterback. Stop disrespecting your young guys. Say a little shit like, oh, we ain't got another option at point guard. Who? I'm not dumb, bro. It's not Minnesota, bro. It's not the, where's Minnesota? The Midwest? It's not Midwest. This is New York, bro. I think this is the East River, bro.
It's the East River.
he gotta stop that gaslighting bullshit, man. He gotta just stop. Tibbs is, I don't want to say what I really want to say about him, but I really want him fired. And it's kind of disrespectful to our intelligence to see how well these kids is playing when you could have done this about 40 games ago. And nobody would have said a word. If he would have switched it up, nobody would have said a word. If Quickly 8 turnovers while he was starting that point guard for 40 games straight, you think we would have batted? Nobody would have said a word.
Yeah, I mean, that should have been it. When Kemba was out of here, Quickly should have been the starting point guard. That's the end of it right there. You know, but we didn't do that.
No.
You know, so I mean, that's strike one against him. And then we waited all this time. Burks was started. Then he put Walker back in the game. Once he put Walker back in, we should have fired him. You know what I'm saying? We should have fired him at that point. Because listen, now you fooling around. And then he didn't want to take Walker out. So I mean, like, how many? That's three different seasons right there. You know, and then Walker takes himself out. You know, and then now Burks is back starting the point guard again. Now that's a fourth season. Now Julius Randle is hurt. Now we in the fifth season now. So I mean this is crazy, man.
Remember the Reddish trade too.
So the Reddish trade.
So now you did the Reddish trade. So now this is how I knew like management and say this is another thing how you know like dirty laundry is coming out and these guys is not on the same page. Management trades a first round pick for Reddish and they trade Knox. Obviously, Knox wasn't getting minutes under Thibodeau because he thinks Alec Burks is great and Evan Fournier is great. So trade a first for Cam Reddish. You know, you got nice young wing. You get RJ Barrett. Oh, we was campaigning for Reddish. You DMP him for Alec Burks? Then he said, we're not eliminated, so we're eliminated. Die hard. I said the season was done 3 months ago, bro.
Yeah, but at the point that he said, yo, we already got our rotation, so I don't see a place for Cam Reddish to play.
Who? When people say to me certain things like, oh, they got to compete for minutes. Simons, a player like Simons, he's behind a Hall of Famer. And Damian Lillard. Our young guys is behind Alfred Payton. you see what I'm going? Like, these dudes ain't behind no Hall of Famers. These are, what? So stop this. Just stop the gaslighting bullshit. And the whole, the biggest narrative that's super dead. Yo, that whole, if I hear him say, earn your minutes, or that word practice again, bro. Yeah, if I hear those two words, bro, out of his mouth, bro, yeah. I'm gonna lose my shit, bro. That narrative died with Alfred last year. That whole earn your minutes shit died. And then this season, hold on, real quick. This season, he magnified that narrative to the point you start Alec Burks all year, and we killing Burks, and we know damn well Burks not a star point guard. That's on tips.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. But I mean, like the stuff that he says is the correct thing to say. But what he says and what he does is absolutely two different things. Because I mean, like as a coach, you need to earn it in practice. You know, as a thing, like you need like everything that he says, that everything that he says is true. But what he does is opposite of what he's saying. You know, so that's the big problem here. So it is one thing that we didn't mention. This is Mike Doc right here. He says first priority should be getting back expiring contracts and stuff like that. Would you do that? Would you trade Julius for expirings?
I'm not getting value for that. I'm not doing that.
Well, check this out. Right now it's addition by subtraction. So because you can see now that Julius not anywhere near the team right now. You know, just on the bench and then the young guys are doing what they do. We're actually functioning better. You know, so if he was to just delete Julius Randle and just get the expirings, keep the money. You know, whatever to see what we can do with that. And then you know. Because I mean, we're talking about waiting for Zion, and what was the other person? Is Zion and Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yeah, but that's not all right. I would get an expiring contract. Am I getting a lottery pick with that expiring contract? That's the thing. I need value, maybe. Bro. I need it. This is 2010 and 5. You're just not gonna like we from the street. You gotta give me fair value. I'm not just giving up 2010 and 5 for cookies. I need value, bro. So am I getting an expiring with this? Give me the ninth pick in this year's draft and the expiring. And some probably a shooter, another vet shooter to compete with them boys in practice. And I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I got full faith in the young guys and this team replacing 2010 and 5. I have nothing but faith in these guys. Nothing but faith.
I don't know. The ninth pick in the draft right now is owned by New Orleans. So I mean, not New Orleans, San Antonio. New Orleans right now is number 8.
So whatever pick Portland got, I'm basically sending Randle to Portland. Portland, listen, look, Randle's a great player. Dame, he needs help. Randle's perfectly with Damian Lillard. That's calm. And if whatever they slotted at in this, that's the team that I'm looking at, and because I want compensation for Randle. I'm just not giving him up for nothing at all. I don't hate the man that much.
Well, I just want to give him up for a salary dump. That's madness. You get not no 20, 10, and 5. I get some.
Yeah, man. But you know, 20, 10, and 5, like you still could fill that in a different way. You know, we can, it depends on who we draft, where we pick up in the draft and all this. There's a bunch of different things that has to come into play, man.
One hypothetical. All right, I'll throw this at you. Let's say if Portland get the 7th overall pick. Nah, I don't think they would do that. It depends, because if you got Damian Lillard, you're trying to win now. You're not trying to see no lottery pick kind of develop. I know they have another pick, too. I think it's around 11, 12 area. But I would want to see Portland pick. I want their lottery pick, bro. And I want compensation. I want their lottery pick, bro.
Well, Portland is realistic, you know, but I mean, they got two picks though. Don't they have they have number 6 and they have the, what is this, number 11, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, 6 and 11. So I mean, I'll take the 11th pick if they'll give it to us. I don't know if they're gonna give us a 6th pick for Julius. That's kind of asking a lot. But at the same time, if you're talking about salary dumps and things of that nature, if they salary dump with us and give us a pick, then it makes sense, because you're not giving us a player, you're giving us salary and a pick.
So to try to make it even more realistic, I think we would have to send our pick in that deal. Like whatever, like let's say we got like the 12th pick. Would you want to do that deal? Let's say if they got the 6 or the, damn, do I think they would trade back that far? I kind of do though, because they got Damian Lillard, and then when you got Lillard, you trying to win now. So would they trade back in this year's lottery, right? You get Randall. You get you a lottery pick. You're giving the Knicks the 6th or 5th overall pick. And all you're doing is basically trading back. And you're getting Randy, you're still getting the talent, getting the guy who can help you win now. But also the Knicks is getting proper compensation for Randall, right? Because this is a weak draft, by the way. And then you could also in this deal, let's say if Mitch walks, whatever the case may be,
well, check. I mean, look at what number 6 is. Look what they got. Who's AJ Griffin?
I don't want nothing to do with AJ Griffin. I'm gonna be very honest with you.
But that's the pick, though. You said the conversation. You know, the 6th pick would be good. You know, but you're talking about AJ Griffin. Some other guys, Benedict. I can't never pronounce that guy's name. Benedict, whatever his name is. He's a shooting guard, though. Johnny Davis. I've seen him play. He's pretty good. You know. Ty is another guy that people keep throwing out there.
So
these guys are not worth it to me.
Now that's what people said about Josh Giddey. So with that pick, I'm shooting for the stars. I'm trying to, honestly, I would be so comfortable if the Knicks did a move like that. And imagine them if Ivy fell a 6, right? Or I'm perfectly fine with, I can tell you the names right now, I'm perfectly fine with Shaedon Sharpe, Benedict McDermott, because he's Canadian. I see Johnny Davis all the time. Dyson Daniels.
These guys are shooting guards, though, man.
That's where I just trust Walt Perrin. I just trust whoever Walt Perrin pick, I'm a stander.
If those guys are shooting guards, everybody that you mentioned was a shooting guard, so that takes away from Grimes, and that takes away from RJ, too.
That's tough. They said Dyson Daniels is a point guard. They say he could play some combo guard. I don't know if Johnny Davis could play point guard. I don't know if Benedict McDermott could play point guard. I know Jaden Ivey plays some point guard. Yeah, it's right. It's tough. It's where the lottery shakes out, yo. This year's lottery, a lot of stuff can happen. Like it depends on how this lottery shakes out, bro. It depends on who gets the top 4, top 5 picks. Most of them teams I'm looking at right now, mostly all of them need a big. None of them really need guards. Most of them need bigs.
But what do we need? Do we necessarily need a shooting guard? We don't need a shooting guard.
We need a guard. We just need a guard. And for me personally, I think we need to draft another big, but that's a talk for another pod. But I think we need a guard, though. We definitely need a guard.
A guard like what though? We need a point guard, I know, but we don't need a shooting guard.
Combo guard.
Somebody who can play.
Well, where are they going to play, though? Because right now, our combo guard, you're talking about RJ. RJ's got to be a shooting guard. Unless you want to be a small forward. But then when where is Cam Reddish playing? So then you got Quentin Grimes as well. So if we draft a shooting guard, but we got Quentin Grimes too. So where are these guys playing?
Oof.
And we still got Quickly, and we still got Rose on the roster. And Deuce.
I don't know, bro. I'm gonna be in that position, bro.
But listen, I'm hinting at that because somebody gotta go. It's not just RJ. I mean, it's not just Julius. You know, we gotta like make a decision on the rest of this roster too, because we gotta make a decision on who we like the most and who wants to be here. We can't keep them all because it doesn't make no sense. Because we're gonna keep all these. Oh, don't trade the young guys, but then we get more young guys, and then now what do? We got like four shooting guards and. You know, 4 point guards, four shooting guards, you know, all everybody deserve to play. What do we do? Somebody got to go.
So for me, like, you got to be realistic. Like, you know, not every young guy is going to survive the rebuild. So if I had four young guys on our team right now, right? If we said, yo, you can only have these four young guys stay on my team. And for me personally, like, outside of RJ, our wings is not good enough for me to just say, like, I could pass up on another wing. And that's just me out of respect of not knowing who a lot of these draft prospects are at the top of the draft. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get somebody soon, like a draft expert on his soon, so they could really, like, lay it out. But that's just me trying to be fair, right? Like, OB, none of those guys, outside of RJ, right? It's nobody on this Nick roster that you can say, damn, I can't draft that position. So at the end of the day, it's like.
What position does RJ play?
RJ can play the two or the three. That's the thing. I'm not worried about him. All right, he can play the two.
You got to, though, because where is he playing? You have to make a decision. What position is RJ playing?
I don't want to be in that office, bro. You throwing the tough questions at me like I'm your
role. I'm saying it's a good question because right now we want the office to go through RJ. In the beginning of the year, I wanted RJ to be a small forward because I think it works, whatever. But, you know, if he's going to be doing a lot of ball handling and stuff like that and whatever, I'd rather him just be the shooting guard then because he's going to be bringing the ball up. So I'd rather him bring the ball up as the shooting guard because it doesn't really matter. He defends shooting guards and small forwards the same way. You know, so let him be the shooting guard. Whatever. So then you gotta have a small four. You gotta have guys in positions. Even though throughout the course of the game, of course, you can mix it up. You can have one guy playing this, one guy playing that. Okay, that's cool. But to start the game off, you have to start the game a certain way. You know, so like if RJ is your guy, if you want him to be the shooting guard, then he needs to be your starting shooting guard. You can't fluctuate the starting lineup like that. You can't do that. You gotta have some kind of you have to have some kind of focus in the beginning. Like I said, throughout the course of the game, you make your adjustments accordingly. But I mean, you have to start the game a certain way. You can't continuously change the starting lineup all around every single game.
Yeah, man. So I mean, let's see. Yeah, I think RJ could play his game more. He could really play his game as shooting guard though. That's another reason why I always wanted him next to like a tall wing, like a 6'8" wing, a la like Cam Reddish. But let's say out of respect for the players in this draft, like outside of RJ Barrett. Maybe Cam Reddish because he got blue chipper potential. None of those guys really are that outstanding to the point where I could pass up on a guy like Shaedon Sharpe or you know Ivy, you know yeah, right Dyson that, Daniels. Because imagine if we do pass up on them, right? And they come out next season, them boys is on fire. Then me and you sit here like, damn, yo.
Yeah, but a lot of fans are like that though. They're like, Quentin Grimes is the greatest thing since sliced bread. What is he? He's gonna be what do you say that Quentin Grimes was? Somebody like they're saying that he's like
Clay Thompson.
Yeah, they're saying he's Clay Thompson. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of fans that believe in him to that degree. So they're gonna be pissed off if he draft somebody else and you know it's gonna be drama again, you know, this year with the favorites out there in Nick Land.
But that type of roster, now let's say we get that type of roster. Now that's when now that you got a lot of young boys, now it's about a matter of respect. Because now the pecking order in that locker room would just happen naturally. Because all those guys are around the same age. So it's probably easier for them to talk to each other, understand each other. Because Like, you see all those young guys now, they're like, they be talking to each other. Just like you said, quickly, leadership is grown so much. Like, he's talking like a great leader. RJ Barrett's leadership style is different from Quickly's. Like, Quickly looks more vocal. He looks like he talks more. But RJ Barrett looks like one of those silent, cool leaders. Yo, bro, it's going to be good, bro. We're going to be good, bro. Just get some defense. We're going to be good. You get what I'm saying? So it all depends, man. I trust the makeup of our young boys, bro. I really do. Just keep Taj. Have Taj as the adult in the room. Gotta keep Taj. That's one vet on this roster. I think he got diplomatic immunity. Gotta keep Taj. But you just can't play him. Right? Need an adult in the room. I think it's three things this team is missing. We're missing a defensive leader, right? That's a kind of a tall wing. We're missing a defensive leader. I would love to have Lou Dort, by the way, bro. We're missing a big, it doesn't matter, power forward or center, who could space the floor and kind of protect the rim. And we're missing a starting point guard. And the fourth thing that we're missing, besides a defensive leader, we don't have we don't got an asshole on this team. Like, every
other have no goons. We got an asshole. We got the biggest asshole in the league, freaking Julius Randle. But yeah, Julius Randle's a crybaby. Who is protecting our team? When stuff is happening, Mitchell Robinson is standing on the outside with his hand between his legs. You know, Obi Toppin is the same thing. Obi Toppin is on the sidelines watching what's happening. You know, we need a guy that's going to be in the mix to fight and protect the young guys. We don't have those players. You know, so when we start to think about allocating the money, moving the money around, this is what we got to start thinking about too.
Yeah.
So I mean,
my bad.
I was about to just to blast May the 4th. I haven't seen May the 4th in a while, so I guess he wants attention. So he's just like it's always woulda, coulda, shoulda with these guys, man. With these podcasts, man, what else is there to talk about but woulda, coulda, shoulda? You know, so it's just like annoying just to even say anything. You know, why even come in here and say that? It is what it could have, should have with all these podcasts.
Yeah, we need a goon. That's basically on point, Flyboy. We need a goon. You got no goons on this. RJ, he nice. Radish, he look like he cool. Obi, you know, he always smiling. He pretty boy. You know, Deuce McBride, he look like he lunch pal. Quickly, lunch pal. They all too damn nice.
Look at Isaiah Stewart. If he was, like, say, Mitchell Robinson to Detroit, that's been like something that was mentioned before. You know, so if it was to trade Mitch over there, Isaiah Stewart got to be one of the ones that take to come over. You know, because I would like to have Isaiah Stewart maybe like as a backup to Obi. You know, that type of thing, to have that backup power forward center. Because if something happens, you know, Isaiah Stewart's a little wild too. But I know if something was to happen, he would be there in the mix, not afraid to get in the mix of things.
Want me to give you a funny story about Isaiah Stewart? He's on my team in my career mode right now in 2K, right on my Knicks. Yeah. That's what's so funny about Isaiah Stewart. I mean, I don't mind the ball. I mean, he got some toughness to him. Listen, man, and he's from New York, I believe. So, you know, I never say no to a guy like that. I mean – hey, let's see how the lottery shake out, man. A lot of these talks right now, it depends on where the Knicks end up in the lottery. That's the main thing for me. Where do they end up in the lottery? So I'm going to just keep trying to put the energy out there. I hope the NBA just give my Knicks the one pick. Or they give – no, I'm not even going to say the one pick. Just give us a top four pick. That's all I want. I just want a top four pick. I don't want to be too greedy and jinx it, but I feel like we deserve it. Yeah, we really do. For a season like this, I feel like we deserve it.
Well, to close it up then, all right, let's say if the Knicks get the top four pick, what do we do with it? Because I mean, I'll paint this picture. Like, we want Julius Randle out of here. I think Julius Randle getting out of here is the best decision. Okay, let's say we get him out of here and we draft top four. I'll put it back up. Top four picks. Who is it? Chet, Jabari Smith, Banchero. You know, these guys, even Keegan Murray, you know, mm-hmm. the top four power forwards in this draft. I would rather, if he take one of those guys, you know, then I kind of want to keep those. because now you add to Quickly, you add to all the other young guys that we have. So now you have your core. You have your core young guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one side. So what's your idea?
Oof. If we had a top four pick, I think if we got the one pick, I'm taking Palau. Bonchero. If we get the one pick, I'm definitely taking Bonchero. I'm taking him over Jaden Ivey. After what I've seen in the tournament, I'm taking Bonchero.
And then do you keep the pick at that point?
Now, here's the thing. Do you think Donovan Mitchell wants out of Utah? Because that's the only way I'm trading the one pick. And in that event that I'm trading the one pick, if I start off trade talks, it's the one pick. Good evening. Hello. Good night. If I do trade the one pick, I think it gotta be for Donovan Mitchell. And it would start off Julius Randle, the one pick. This is what I'm starting off. This is what I'm bringing to the table. Listen, Julius Randle, the one pick, Alec Burks, 2025 pick unprotected. That's how we start trade talks off.
I'm not doing that, man. 25 pick unprotected. We traded them Brancero and Julius. Jeez.
Oh, you're right. Damn, that do sound like, but that's Donovan Mitchell though.
But Donovan Mitchell and Michael Jordan though.
Get him.
He ain't Michael Jordan or Kobe though.
Yeah, but that's Donovan. You can't just not say no, bro.
But I get it though. That's like a good base there, you know, to get Donovan Mitchell. That's to say. So State's moving around, man. I don't know if you guys can hear him. So he kind of screwed himself up with the Wi-Fi walking around.
Oh yeah, I did. With the ball, yeah, I did. My bad. The ball is in your court, man.
Well, I mean, like my thing is, like, if he was to get the top four pick, I, you know, and we got a chance. Let's say, all right, let's just pick a number. Let's say if we did get the one pick. If we got the one pick between Shet and these guys, you know, I could take one of these three: Jabari Smith, Brancher, or Hull. I could take any one of them. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with the second pick. If you get the top three picks, we got to take one of those three. You know?
Nah, yeah, if I get the second pick, I'm taking Jaden Ivey. That's second two through four, I'm taking Jaden Ivey. I'm taking Jaden.
Well, top four picks, these guys here from Keegan Murray up, you know, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, Banchero, Jabari Smith, and Chet Holmgren. I think we got to pick those guys if we get them. You know, so I don't know. I mean, trading them for Mitchell Robinson. Donovan Mitchell. If we do that, then we got to blow the whole team up. We got to start packaging everybody together to get that third star. Because once you get Donovan Mitchell, you have to get that third star. You got to get somebody else in here. You know,
Donovan Mitchell, RJ Barrett. Yeah, you got to get something else. That's not enough. You got to get a lot of defenders too. You got to get mad defenders. You got to get mad 3-and-D wings. You got to get a point guard. So Donovan won't dominate the ball too much. And you got to make it clear to Donovan. Donovan will have to change his whole play style too. Because I've been watching Utah Jazz games. I ain't been feeling your boy lately with that. It looked like he just chucked. He looked like an inefficient chucker. But I'm gonna be respectful to Donovan Mitchell. He is a superstar caliber player.
But so, if he does that on Utah, he's gonna do that here too.
Nah.
Especially if Tom Thibodeau's the coach here. If Tom Thibodeau's the coach here, dribble handoffs, you know, Donovan Mitchell gonna be dying on that hill alone by himself.
Oh, here's the caveat. This is my last thing. Then I guess you could. I guess if you finish, you could put up the Apple Podcast and all that. I give you a caveat. Donovan Mitchell ain't coming to New York to play for Tom Thibodeau. We know what would happen if Donovan Mitchell say he picks New York.
Yeah, that's Bryan gonna be the coach.
Who?
Yeah, Johnny Bryan, right? He got to be the coach.
Kill two birds in one stone. You get Randle out here, yeah. And you get me Donovan Mitchell, and you fire Tim. So,
you want to curse out this guy? Rafael Diaz, Rafael Diaz, before you get out of here?
Nah, I don't got time. just put up the Apple Puck. I don't got time for that. I'm not paying that attention. Yeah,
shout out to Raf, man.
Yeah, shout out to Raf, man. I love you, man, but it's over, bro. It's over, bro. I respect your opinion, brother. Amazon Alexa, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Play FM, Stitcher, Spotify, and all that. If you go look at the Spotify, too, I've been putting questions. Right,
when I upload the audio versions of the podcast, I put questions on them. So y'all go answer those questions. I'm gonna start showing those questions right on my Twitter. So I appreciate y'all for participating in that as well. But Ralph, yeah, I love you, bro. But
I need don't love you, Ralph. I like you, but I don't love you.
I love all Knicks fans, man. I'm a God-fearing man. But I need Julius Randle to fuck off my team, bro. With all due respect, yo, Donald, I'm out of here, man.
All right, peace, man. I see you.
The Knicks play tomorrow.
Let me see when they play. They play now. They play Wednesday. Thank God. They play the Nets. They play the Nets. Did they play a regular time? Let me see. They play at 7:30.
All right. So hopefully, at the Garden. I think on Wednesday I'm actually going to the Nets game.
The Knicks on Wednesday? Nets.
Yes, that's the game that I was going to, and I'm going with my older cousin, so I won't be able to do a show on Wednesday. But
so I mean, if you're going to the next game, I think I might go too. Then what the fuck? Like, well, well I guess tell me after the fact. Tell me what section and all that you in, and let's see if we can make that happen.
I got you. Because me and my cousin was definitely talking about that. I'm gonna call him tomorrow morning just to make sure, because he was saying he wanted to see if he could get better seats. Because my cousin, he rich, so he went to MIT.
I'm not rich.
He got that real money. I ain't got money. He got that $500 Knicks seat money. I got that money, but that two seats for $1,000? You know how much I pay in rent, man? I get two seats for like $700, but you the $1,000? You're pushing it, bro.
Yeah, that's too much.
You know, I'll be there Wednesday, man. So yeah, definitely, Dodd, I definitely let you know. We could definitely do a meetup on Wednesday. So if you're going there as a Knicks fan, I can't wait to see y'all. Ralph, once again, get Julius Randle the fuck off my team. Y'all, I'm out of here, dog.
Yeah, I'm out of here, too. All right, peace, Nate.
All right, brother.
Hey, peace, everybody in the chat. Thank you guys for tuning in. Julius Randle versus Tibbs. When it comes down to it, I think both of those motherfuckers got to go. You know, we just got to look forward with these young guys. The most important thing right now is our young guys and getting these guys moving in the right direction. Julius Randle got to go, and then we got to make a decision with Rose and all these guys too, man. Tom Thibodeau is the coach, and, you know, you're talking about MSG politics. You know, it's going to be in effect. Tom Thibodeau is going to be playing Rose, and he's going to be playing Burks like crazy, man. So it is what it is. So I see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow I might do a pod at 12. So look out for that. Look out for 12 and a couple of more times throughout the day because I'm off. So I see you guys tomorrow, guys. Four fingers to the forehead, tuck of the thumb. Salute. See you guys on the next one. Peace.